The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
When you turn on the evening news, do you see what you want to see or what you need to see? Welcome to Bread for the Journey, ordinary people doing extraordinary deeds with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. It seems like more often than not, the good news and people that are making it are buried into a two-minute feature piece near the end of the report. What about giving these people and this kind of news a full hour every week? Now, here's your host, Mariana Cacciatore.
Hello and welcome to our show today. I've got John Fox with us again. John is the founder and president of the Institute for Poetic Medicine. I interviewed him last week about the Institute, and I encourage you to go to our website and listen to the archive of the show. It was one of my favorite shows. And if you want to do that, go to breadforthejourney.org/radio. You'll see John's photo. Click the play button and off you go. I invited John back to the show this time to dive into some of his poetry and mine. John's been writing poetry most of his life, and little by little, as our friendship developed, he would gift me with a poem here and a poem there until one day I realized I had quite a few of his pieces. I have a ritual each morning upon waking in which I read poetry to start my day. I immersed myself for a week or so in John's poetry and began sending him some of mine. My first artistic impulse as a kid was to write poetry. I wrote a lot when I was young, but stopped, or at least I slowed way down for many years. And now I'm writing a lot again, and it feels like the most important thing I'm doing at this time in my life. And John has been supportive and encouraging to me, helping to build my confidence and skill as a poet. We often have long conversations talking about poetry in our lives, and so we decided to take it on the air. John selected 5 poems, and so did I, for this broadcast. We're going to talk about things like what inspired our poem and why certain images were chosen and what surprised us, what emerged in the poem that we didn't expect, how it felt to write it, and perhaps what's happening today as it relates to the poem. And we're going to offer something to you, if you are so inclined. Simple writing prompts, helping you put pen to paper and jot lines of your own. A prompt is a way to assist you with a place to begin, sort of words to get you started. So if you are inclined, grab a piece of paper and a pen, and you can write down the prompts. And after the show is over, you can begin to play with what emerges out of your imagination. And if you wish to print out the poems we'll be working with today, there are 2 ways you can access them. If you are on my mailing list and you get the show description, and John, I think, sent that mailing list to some people as well, sent the show description to some people as well. On the 4th paragraph of that show description, it starts by saying, "This week, John and Mariana will share their own poems." The words "their own poems" is a link. You can just click on that and it'll take you right to the page with all the poetry. If you don't have our show description, you can simply go on the internet and type in breadforthejourney.org/interactive-poetry. That's breadforthejourney.org/interactive-poetry. Click on that, it'll take you to the page, all the poems are there. And if you scroll all the way to the bottom, you'll see a link that says download. You can click that, and then you can keep it in your computer, print it out from there. Otherwise, you can just look at them while we're doing the show. So welcome, John. So happy to have you on the show today.
Mariana, hi. It's good to be here.
Yeah, I'm great.
Looking forward to, you know, tossing poems into the cyberspace and receiving them.
That's great. That's great. Well, then let's dive in. We're going to begin with a poem from John.
So we, in our conversation, Mariana, we talked about, you know, I mean, actually what initiated it, is a poem you sent me that you wrote called Time.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me think about, because your poem Time is about the first poem that you ever wrote. And one of the sort of just essential moments in my life, I remember, is the first poem I ever wrote. And so I think that was a catalyst, in a way, for our conversation. And the first poem I ever wrote, I was about 12, maybe 13. I lived in Shaker Heights, Ohio, and I was at a skating rink, Thornton Park, and there was a girl out on this skating rink, and she was the only person on the ice, and she was skating. And I remember standing there outside of the rink with a notebook in my hand, and people may think I'm romanticizing this, but I remember standing there writing this poem about watching this girl skate. And I wanted my words to skate on the page so people could see that's what my experience was.
Hmm.
So that poem is, you know, somewhere in... it's not. I don't have it any longer. But, and this is, I want to sort of link our talk to this morning to the healing part of poetry. In 1999, my mother had a really severe stroke, very, very unexpected. She thought she was getting a hip replacement, and instead, during one of the procedures, she had a stroke. And so I had come to support her for, I thought, a week or so after her hip replacement. But I ended up staying for quite a long time after her stroke. And so there I was in my hometown, and I thought about how poetry had been this incredible companion and medicine for me. And so I thought about that first poem, and I imagined this. The poem is called Poetry. She skates boldly onto the page, tips one vulnerable foot back and forth slowly till finally the edge of a toe cuts a simple sharp line through the world's cold resistance. And with that plain courage, a statement of intention begins. And you can't turn back any longer from the weight of feeling and letting go into the flow that follows. Poetry is a choice to feel it all, not all at once, but gradually to sink down within ourselves, to give what fear we hold behind our knees to gravity and grace. To discover what makes our whole world turn, the place our necessary weight lifts to lightened joy. Poetry, I'll read that last part of the stanza. Poetry is a choice to feel it all, not all at once, but gradually to sink down within ourselves, to give what fear we hold behind our knees to gravity and grace, to discover what makes our whole world turn, the place our necessary weight lifts to lightened joy.
I love this poem. You know, when I read it the first time, and I really was sort of staying with the poem, you know, I went to that line, poetry is a choice to feel it all.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like learning something completely new. I didn't know that poetry was a choice to feel it all. But in fact, at that point, I had written enough poems of my own that I realized there were, you know, things I knew I was feeling, and then there were things I didn't know I was feeling that
right.
found their way to the surface. And so it was such a profound thing to see you put it in print. Poetry is a choice to feel it all.
Not all at once, but
right.
But gradually to sort of let oneself sink down. The poet Stanley Kunitz had a wonderful line in a poem of his called The Layers, where he says, live in the layers, not on the litter. The litter being the sort of surface debris. And so that sense of poetry allows us to deepen our sense of experience and feeling and surprise.
Yeah, we may not know something in the present moment that we're having an experience, and we may not know all the feelings that go with it, but, you know, the art of reflecting. And then, but beyond just reflecting in your head, putting things to paper, bring up so much more than we thought was there. And it has actually, in my life, helped me to be more present.
To be, could you say something about that, Mariana? To be more present.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like the work in the world is actually to be in our bodies in this present moment at all times, knowing, you know, what is arising for us and what's happening in an interaction with somebody else. Oftentimes, it's the next day or the day after that or years later when we put it all together. But the more I write poetry, the more those hidden things rise to the surface. And the more I actually see them, I'm noticing that the present moment in other situations are more, I don't know what to say, more real for me.
Right. I mean, one of the things that I think it's something that's true for all of us. I love to give this sort of space for people to sort of discover that for themselves. Recently, I wrote a description for people who were on staff at a hospice, because I'll be going there in a month or two to give a workshop. I've done a lot of work with people in hospice, but the workshop will be on using poetry and the writing of poems to develop mindfulness and a sense of and to go from there to deepen a sense of dialogue.
Right.
And
so, yeah, in a poem, you're really dialoguing with yourself in a sense, or you're dialoguing with some inner part of yourself.
Right.
That stays, you know, not completely, but somewhat covered. And it reveals. Go ahead.
I think there's that sense of being revealed, and there's a sense of, you know, well, I've gained some experience in this life. My favorite comment or sort of fan letter was from a person in Racine, Wisconsin. It was after finding What You Didn't Lose came out, and this person wrote, "Dear Mr. Fox, I'm 11 years old and have been writing for a while." So, I mean, but a while is a long time when you're, a short time, what we would consider a short time, a while is a long time when you're 11.
And so I'm aware of the time, and we're trying to do three poems in this segment. Yes. But do you want to would you like to give one of the prompts from this poem before we move on, John?
Yes. Yeah. So we thought of these prompts, these sort of beginning places. So if you can jot this down, and it's not a homework assignment, it's just a free write, meaning you can just begin. But the prompt from this poem is, "And with that plain courage, ... ellipse, and with that plain courage." So think, how does that, what does that, those words stir for you, "and with that plain courage"? And then just go from there.
Great. So this poem, as you mentioned earlier, was my poem called Time.
Mm-hmm.
I remember where I was when I wrote my first poem, at the kitchen table in the second home I had known. It was dark outside. I was supposed to be doing homework. Guess I was doing homework. The home inside of me. I wrote the word time on paper, capital T. As a child, I used to write that word over and over on everything, my schoolbook covers, notepads near the telephone, in the margins of my mimeographed school papers. Time is what I wrote like a graffiti tag. I used to wonder about it. I knew it had gravitas in a mercurial kind of way, I could see the world ran on time. And yet I knew it was illusory. There, but not there. I knew that then. In 1964, I knew that. And one day, one timeless day, when the next word and the word after that came to me, the word time became the first word of the first poem I had ever written. I was 10, old enough to recognize a timeless truth, too young to know what to do with it.
Yeah, Mariana, that's sigh. I was 10. I was 10. Mm-hmm. I knew that.
Right.
Old enough to recognize. Old enough. You know?
Yeah, so I think children know far more than we give them credit for. And I think, you know, what was missing was the piece, what to do with it, you know? But, you know, I'm at a place in my life today where I recognize that how important this word is. It's, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the world is, we have, you know, one way you can look at it is sort of rock consciousness. We make everything so solid. And then another way to look at it is water consciousness, where, you know, we can let things dissolve, right, or become clear, or roll off, and you know, for me anyway, that time becomes a little bit mercurial. That was the word I used in the poem. When I am more like water consciousness than rock consciousness,
and I would say in hearing you say this poem, speak it, and then looking at it, because I can look at it on this page here, there's a sense of dropping down deep within yourself. The poem, just the look on the page, to me, it drops down. You know, the lines are brief. Even the word gravitas is on its own line.
Right.
And then there's this one, is what I wrote like a graffiti tag. and I like that line because it feels like you're playing. It feels like you're a rebel.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like you're sort of giving the world yourself, your word, and you sort of, it's done, you know, it was dark outside. It's sort of, sometimes this, you know, the problem I think with the academic approach sometimes to poetry is that it gets out, we get outside of the sense of that there's a mystery to it, that there's also
right.
a secret place.
Right.
And I feel that all in this, this poem is, in a way, it's a very big space, and you're very small holding it.
Right. Thank you. You know, we're at the end of our first segment, believe it or not. And so before we take a break, I'm going to say to our audience, the prompt for this poem is, I remember where I was. I remember where I was.
Wonderful.
Let that be part of your imagination. So please stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment with more poetry. John Fox and Mariana Cacciatore.
American Heroes Network is a program for and about our American veteran heroes and their families. Join Gary Ray with his co-host Linda Crater as they show what is being done to help our veterans and showcase the companies and organizations that are helping our veterans and their families rebuild their lives. Listen for American Heroes Network, live and powered by the Voice America Variety Channel, every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time.
Museums are great places to work and wonderful places to visit. But are they essential? How can we improve our museum practice so that museums remain vital and essential players in society? Listen for Museum Life with host Carol Bossert, where each week we'll discuss timely and topical issues of concern to the museum community. Museum Life can be heard live every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back, and we're here talking poetry. John Fox and Mariana Cacciatore. So, John, would you like to do the next poem?
Sure. Mariana, this poem is called Consider What Happens. And something I notice in working with groups of people or an individual, it's like a poem, how people relate to a poem, and they get into a relationship with a poem as it sort of sinks in. So this poem is a way of trying to capture that experience. It's called Consider What Happens. Consider what happens upon hearing a poem that moves you, the nod of your head, tucking your chin close to your chest, as if stopping to rest, as if you could cry now in the middle of a long journey. Hear whatever you regret having forgotten, even with your aching tiredness, which you cannot forget, all of a sudden turns to a surprisingly vibrant sky as your eyes widen ever so slightly in a recognition that shimmers under your skin, wells up into a calm line of sight that is your own and goes on almost forever. Astonished, you walk outside breathing and slowly stroll in the fresh air, suddenly aware that back in your house, someone new, a stranger you like, has arrived.
You know, when I read this poem for the first time, this line, you know, stopping to rest as if you could cry now in the middle of a long journey, was almost like it was in bold for me, because sometimes that is really exactly how it is. You know, a poem makes me stop, and I stop and I rest, and it touches. Usually there's something in a poem that moves me, that touches some place that makes me want to cry. So as if I could cry now, of course, in the middle of a long journey, like something I have known for 15 years but have never really articulated, somebody else did in a poem that I connect to.
Mariana, why would you take time to do that? What in you is drawn towards this that allows you to sort of to be open to feel it?
You know, it has some part of me. I mean, I go back to the fact that, you know, the first creative thing I did as a kid was I wrote poetry. So there's something in me that wants it and loves it and knows that it's my medium. So there's that. But I love communicating with words. Like, words are my thing. And, you know, a journal, I would have to say, journaling saved my life as a kid, you know. And so I've developed, and I read constantly. It's like the thing I have always done, and it's the thing I continue to do. So I have a love relationship with words, and poetry lifts up words. It uses them sparsely, and it lifts them up and holds them in a place of reverence.
Did that writing that journal, did making that poem, does it help you to care for yourself?
It does. It saved my life. I mean, you know, it was, you know, when we don't have therapy, we have ourselves to banter the issues of our lives around with. And the more I wrote in my journal, the more honest I got with myself about what was true, the more I resolved the issues of my life.
Well, was there a way that it helped you to think about taking risks? I don't mean undue risk, or you know, but a certain willingness.
Yeah, because of course things arose. You know, things came that I didn't expect, that surprised me, and you know, then I knew it. I knew something new, and maybe it meant I would act on it.
You know, I would love to hear the poem "The Key." I think that's our next poem.
Okay.
And
right.
And just that sense of you know. I love calling a poem "The Key." I've never heard of a poem, and I know a lot of poems. But seriously, I never have heard of a poem called "The Key."
Mm-hmm. Well, here we go. When the fact of uncertainty and sorrow finally settle without struggle inside me, everything relaxes, and I can see for miles forward and back. I can smell lavender again. I can reach for your hand. When forgiveness becomes me, turn, forgive you, turn, forgive me, turn, forgive us all. My walkabout is barefooted, feeling everything as though it is white sand on a warm beach. But when the story in the morning paper breaks my heart. The story of the 12-year-old girl sold into sex slavery by her auntie. When the story breaks my heart, I'm stumped again. What do I do? What do I do? I cut flowers from the garden and fill the vase with my tears. Place them on a makeshift altar, the coffee table covered with newsprint and remote control. I dedicate this moment right now to forgiveness. Right now, I lay down the rant in my head and pray, may all beings be safe. May all beings be free. May all beings live in peace. The fragrance of stargazer lilies fill every room. I make a cup of tea for the one I love and offer it up for the many I love.
Thank you so much for this poem.
You're welcome. Yeah, you know, it's this thing that happens, right? We have a handle on something, or, you know, we're working at developing. For me anyway, my life, it feels as though I'm a poster child for uncertainty. So many things have happened in my life, and as you know, and maybe many people in our audience knows, you know, my best friend was murdered when I was a kid, and so, you know, you learn about uncertainty. I learned about uncertainty at a time when I was forming my ideas of what the world was about.
And sorrow.
That's right. So, you know, it's a thing I've been working with my whole life.
Well, Mariana, we didn't see this. I'm sort of glad we you know, people don't know, but we were going to reconsider what happens in the previous segment. But we read it in this one right before "The Key." And there's this connection where you say, in like the sixth or seventh line of "The Key," I can see for miles forward and back.
Right.
And of course, in the "Consider What Happens," you know, and in a recognition that shimmers under your skin, wells up into a calm line of sight that is your own and goes on almost forever. That sense of coming home to yourself and seeing for a long way.
Right. Right.
And then, if I may, that sense of uncertainty and sorrow finally settle without struggle inside me. In poetic medicine, in my book Poetic Medicine, there's the first pages have the sense of poetry being able to hold paradox without having to constantly try to go with one or the other or work it out, figure out an answer, and yet to let how the paradox of life, the poem, seems to have this capacity to hold it.
Yeah, and then we get caught, right? You know, we're sitting and we're, you know, reading the morning paper and the story, right? It just sucks us in.
Right. Well, I mean, thank God. I mean, the one thing is when I say thank you to you, Mariana, I mean also thank you for feeling. You know, thank you for letting your heart be broken.
Yeah.
And then you stayed with it. What do I do? What do I do? You made a flower that are going to be nourished by your own tears.
Right. Yeah, this piece about forgiveness, you know, I mean, I've been working with this now for a long time, and I realize that part of it is, you know, working with the forgiveness of myself. Like, you know, I'm always... You know, as human beings, we're fallible. You know, we make mistakes all the time. We forget important things, and we say things we don't mean, and we hurt the people we love, and we don't live up to our aspirations. And so constantly coming back to self and saying, I forgive you for that, and I love you. I love you. This is a beautiful part of who you are. This is what it means to be human, so that we don't blame ourselves when those things happen. And I think, you know, so that's what made me think about forgiveness in that moment with this person. And of course, you know, Susan's murderer, working with that my whole life, you know, coming to a place of trying to forgive and see as human, you know, the man who murdered her. So, I'm so grateful that I came to it. This really happened. I mean, this, I'm not making up a poem about something that didn't happen. This really happened to me.
Right.
And in fact, my first versions of this poem, I couldn't use the word auntie because I am an auntie. I had to say another relative.
So
I couldn't get that close.
We sink down gradually within ourselves.
Right. Right.
And the poem, it has this malleable quality. I mean, people think, well, see, that's a very general statement, but in school you're supposed to turn in your assignment and then, you know, that's like it. But actually, the poem is a living, breathing event. And it can be malleable. Like if you keep clay and you keep the clay wet, you can continue to shape the clay. So in a way, treating a poem like it was a wet clay, that you can, and at some point... Something rose up where you could bring that word auntie into your poem.
Right.
And it's so, right. this isn't a competition. You know, we can sort of let the poem also come to you.
Right.
And I just want to, just that last stanza, I want to ask you about it. I don't know how our time is, Mariana, but I make a cup of tea for the one I love and offer it up for the many I love.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just thinking, what a sense of kindness and simplicity and mercy.
You know, it's like, you know, there are people that live all over the planet, and we don't know who they are. And how is it? I mean, what I know and what I believe is that we are one. We are all one. We are all connected. You breathe out, I breathe in. We are all connected. So how is it that I can make that come alive for me in every moment of every day? Mm-hmm. So I make a cup of tea for the one I love and offer it up for the many I love is really, I try to do it many times in a day, different ways. You know, I eat something sweet and say, may the sweetness be felt by everyone. Or when I'm in sorrow, sometimes it's sort of like I remember that other people feel this sorrow and try to remember to hold my sorrow for, you know, to include us all. It's a way for me personally to feel connected to every living being on the planet.
Right. And we learn to trust ourselves. And one thing I want to also say about our poems is you and I have very unique voices, and all of the people listening, each one is going to have their own unique voice, and there's no specific way to do this. There's no no real poetry judge who says, well, this counts and this doesn't. In my work, right. I love it that right. everybody has this unique voice, and we need, you know, right. we need all to gradually sink down within ourselves. Okay. Should I read Days of Rain?
We have 2 minutes, but let's okay. start it. We may have to cover it when we may have okay. to talk more. I'll stop. Go ahead. Days of Rain.
Okay, so this poem, Days of Rain, it's an important poem for me. I had a very, very beautiful sister. Her name was Holly. She was born with Down syndrome, although she would say that it's really Up syndrome. And she died a year ago in May. And it's been very hard, and particularly in months following her death. Days of Rain. Open me up to feel due words, D-U-E. Open me up to feel due words, Philip Booth. I want the losing it all, as when it rains hard. I want the letting it all loose to open myself to the truly, to the only true opener of my freer falling feeling. I want that dense drape of drenched space to drop into the entire air, the atmosphere, the ache, fall there, drawn down, drowned into the lowest ground of the great and good grieving. Soaked into that low place of kind green grass, and further then into the darker grit that gathers it, the one who finally gets it, who becomes exactly what it is, the one who lets grieving sound out again and returns it, yet now wholly held to the singular heart of mine that might, may, must grow greater through love's loss.
Mm. John, we have to take a break, and so we'll have the discussion about this poem when we come back.
And we'll have some prompts, too.
Yeah. So stay with us. We'll be right back.
Expect the unexpected each week with Extreme Radio, presented by Fitness RX for Men magazine. Exclusive interviews with celebrities, sports stars, comedians, with co-hosts Greg Valentino and Joe Pietaro. Tune in every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific for Extreme Radio.
On VoiceAmerica.com.
Voice America presents a new kind of health awareness talk show. The Sharon Kleina Hour, Health, Environment, and the Power of Water. Show host Sharon Kleina interviews leading scientists to discover how each of us can become proactive in protecting our personal health environment in an increasingly unhealthy world. Every show offers new information that could save your life. The Sharon Kleina Hour is health from an environmental perspective, your ultimate source for a personal environmental lifestyle. Listen Mondays at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel and Wednesdays at 12 noon Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
What if there was a radio show that could demonstrate how we can cut your taxes in half without diminishing needed government services? One that could explain how to create tens of millions of jobs at no cost to taxpayers, as well as fantastic yet easily affordable health care. Side effects include cutting crime rates nationwide, providing better education for our children, international peace and harmony, and protecting your private, personal data from government intrusion. Tune in to Libertarians Working for You with Arvind Vora, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
You are tuned in to Bread for the Journey, Ordinary People Doing Extraordinary Deeds, with your host, Mariana Cacciatore. If you have a question or comment about the program, or have an idea for a person you would like featured on a future program, please send an email to bfjradio@gmail.com. That's bfjradio@gmail.com. And now, back to Bread for the Journey.
Welcome back, and we're here with John Fox and Mariana Cacciatore reading poetry. And John just read a poem called Days of Rain, which was written for his sister Holly, who just recently died. This line, John, to the only true opener of my freer falling feeling. Is grief the only true opener of your freer falling feeling?
Could you say that again, please?
Is grief. This book is about grief. This poem is about grief to me. So I'm wondering, you know, I the way I read that is that grief, that, you know, that grief opened myself to the only true opener. I heard that as grief is the only true opener of my free or falling feeling. Did I get that right? Or
I think you got, this is the thing. I mean, you got it right for you.
Right.
The poem probably has multiple levels of meaning for me. And in sharing it with people, it's like, It's not like 11th grade class where you're supposed to know what the teacher thinks. I want this poem to move people in the way that it moves them. Yes, grief definitely is where something is let all loose.
Mm-hmm.
There's another line in another poem I wrote called Even to This, and the last lines are, that I open myself even to this and call to God, even to this, but open my heart even to this. So grief is there, but also, Mariana, like, if just being able to feel, you know, to feel what I feel, to
right.
open myself to that.
Right, right, right.
And so grief just happens to be really a good one at sort of getting to the crux of things. And,
right.
and, but it sometimes it's like this little poem by an 8-year-old. And I don't know what the name of the person who wrote it is, but it's very short. It's a little haiku. Early one morning when the birds were singing, I had another heart in me. He's getting to his freer fall. Early one morning when the birds were singing, I had another heart in me.
Oh, that is so great.
And I might say that in this poem, although it's about grief, people heard the sounds, freer, falling, feeling, drawn down, drowned, mm-hmm. into the lowest ground, atmosphere, ache. There was a way in which I was playing with sounds.
Mm-hmm.
Because sounds were like a more gritty mm-hmm. thing for me to drop my feelings into. Just, the word reclaim, it's a Latin word, reclamare, and it means to cry out.
Mm-hmm.
And so this poem is, particularly with the sounds, the great and good grieving, the darker grit that gathers it, it's a way of dropping into that sort of, but it's just, in a way, there's a certain play with words that happens, and I feel that sense of play is something that, you know, as adults, we think is we're not supposed to get too involved with, or at least it's supposed to be very relegated to the weekend or something. Maybe.
Let me ask you this: did that surprise you? Did it appear and then you began playing with it?
I think exactly. It showed up, and
yeah.
then I kind of went with it. I listened and I went with it.
Yeah. I love when that happens. It's like it's really alive. I'm playing with something very alive that has its own agenda in a certain way.
It speaks to me. It has its own, like, this is how I can help you.
Right.
Like, you know, when you step on a boat, you're glad that the floor of the boat is there. It will hold you up. So if I can feel, and here we go with, I want to give people a prompt.
Okay.
And it's just the first lines, the first three words, I want the, dot, dot, dot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what do you want? I want the, mm-hmm. I say I want the losing it all, but I want the what? And Did we miss a prompt that you might have had?
Yeah, we did, from the last poem, because I wanted to get to yours. So the poem, The Key, had a line in it called, "I dedicate this moment right now."
Love it. Say it again, please.
I dedicate this moment right now. Mm. What do you dedicate this moment right now to? Mm-hmm. So let me do a poem called Feelings Are Like the Wind.
Marianne, do you mind if I say, in putting this together, we've thought about the order of these poems, and I felt this poem was wonderful to follow in Days of Rain.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thanks. Here's the thing about staying. Don't turn away, but don't build a brick house either. Feelings come and go like the wind. You may join them late in the night, listen well to their secrets or rantings, but when you sleep, leave the doors and windows open. No sense in trapping the wind. Morning, you may wake with a thought to make breakfast for your guests, but don't. They left in the night without leaving a note. Just as well, they'll be back. Changed, though. The wind is like that. Here's the thing about staying. Don't turn away, but don't build a brick house either. Feelings come and go like the wind. So when I wrote this poem... Go ahead. What was the question?
I wanted you to read it twice.
Okay.
You know, people can rewind this and go and hear Marianne read this again.
Yeah, because we have time. Where time is kind of an issue, so we'll just talk about it. Does that feel okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, when I wrote this, I was thinking about, we have staying is a theme I'm sort of on right now. I've got a series of poems that I'm writing all about staying. And when I say staying, I'm talking about like the authenticity of the feeling that arises that we always seem to want to run away from, right? We distract ourselves with whatever where we go with it. You know, we get angry at somebody, and then next thing we know, we're planning out how we're going to handle it. And instead of just really staying with the raw, pure emotion of anger, which is so hard to do. So I'm saying here, you know, here's the thing about staying. Don't turn away, but don't build a brick house either. It's sort of referring back to that poem where I was talking about, rock consciousness and water consciousness. Like, you know, because our feelings, you know, We concretize a story. We concretize a feeling and create a story. And here I'm saying that feel what it is that you're feeling, but, you know, then when it's not there, when you wake up in the morning, don't bring it back if it's not there on its own. It might even be there on its own, but, you know.
I just realized, Marianne, this poem makes me think of one of the things about my sister Holly is, you know, the most marvelous thing could happen. She had a capacity for delight that just is amazing, and for a very kind of keen delight. But when something passed and was over, she would always say, "What now? what now? Like, let's, you know,
on to the next thing.
On to the next thing, or it was like there was a both like a curiosity in it and a openness and so in my sort of, you know, struggling with a sort of sense of her being gone, it's like I can hear her voice. I can hear that lilting, "What now?" And your poem helps me to reminds me of that. Maybe that's one reason why I felt that I was glad that it came through after Days of Rain. And I also noticed, and just noticed for the first time, and maybe this relates to a poem I'll read in a moment, but we had that discussion, if you don't mind me saying, about the wind.
Yes.
For you.
Yes.
And I don't know if your listeners know, but this sense, like, the wind was not always something you considered your friend.
Right. Right. It would give me headaches. Windy days gave me headaches. I mean, I rarely had headaches, but windy days were, you know, they just, it doesn't happen much anymore, although I don't really particularly love wind. But it doesn't, at least, you know, kind of mess with my head anymore. because who wants a headache whenever, you know, whenever there's a windy day?
but here you are, sort of, you know, using this sensibility of that feelings are like the wind and writing about it.
Right. Well, they do. They actually do. If you, you know, I mean, this is, it's a tricky thing. This is the paradox. I'm saying don't turn away, but don't build a brick house either. So, right. You know, we stay with whatever the feeling is, but the pure raw feeling of it, and then try to drop the stories and all the, you know, responses and what I'm going to do and what they said and what it meant and how I read it and, you know, just like all the stuff. And it's, I mean, I say this, it's such a hard thing to do. But it is something we can practice.
And we leave those doors and windows open.
That's right. That's right. That's right. You know, it's so easy. You know, morning comes and you wake with, you know, a thought to make breakfast for your guests. You know, you have an invitation, perhaps the remembrance of what happened the day before arises. And, you know, you can sort of stir the pot or you cannot. You can let it go away on the wind. If the wind is going to grab it, let it grab it.
And they left in the night without a note, leaving a note. You made me laugh. I mean, that's the other thing. You know, poetry often is like, yeah, I love your laughing to that, your own line. It's like it will surprise us, and sometimes,
right,
maybe more often than not, with some humor.
Right. How about if we go to your poem, Blown Home?
Okay.
Was
there a prompt for this one?
There was not. I didn't create a prompt for that one.
Okay. So Blown Home. This was written many years ago, probably like 1985. And I'll read it. I'd been part of a spiritual community for a number of years, and it was helpful, and I got a lot from it. But at some point, I found that I needed to really put my own feet on the ground and take a step that was my own, where I didn't know what the next step necessarily would be. And that brought me up to an edge. And this is the poem about that edge. Blown home. Not finally brought home to God by those mortals who know how it all is and organize that around the edges of words that make up the towns and train schedules of understanding's itinerary, nor even by the lovely vibrations that linger after special evening concerts of happy angels on tour through form. Instead, brought home by the wind, coming from way out there, unknown and holy, beyond the sea cliffs of solitude, the same wind that since the beginning of longing has been embraced to the core by those who have flung their heart past the promontory of certainty out into the open sea, simply to hear a voice that meets your own, real as a spray of water, full on your face, faithful as the sun that sets or rises someplace on earth, always, always the horizon, where the one soul of us all is waveless and deep, speaking of love, night and day.
We've got 2 minutes before the end of the show, and so I just wanted to alert you, but I wanted to say that I sobbed. I wanted to tell her, I sobbed when I first read this poem. I didn't know it. And it was weeks later when I had a cluster of your poems and I decided to spend a week focusing each morning. This one, there was a moment when I read it, and this piece, you know, simply, you know, this moment, when you have flung your heart past the promontory of certainty out into the open sea, it's that uncertainty that I was talking about. Mm-hmm. And then finally, out of that uncertainty, you hear a voice that meets your own, real as a spray of water, full on your face, faithful as the sun. And I just sobbed, you know, because that is really, I mean, we talked about this uncertainty. And we only have 1 minute left, but say something, John.
Oh, I wish we had a time to hear a seamless ease of love.
I know, but we don't. I'm so sorry.
Okay, here's a prompt, because, you know, we build this as a chance to encourage people to write. So here's here's a prompt. Not finally, dot, dot, dot. If you were to, you know, write from this, what would you say? You know, what goes on?
Not finally.
John. And so I just want to thank you, Mariana, for, you know, this, you know, chance to share these poems together. And we didn't get all of them that we had planned. But
it's all right, but it was a fabulous show. I loved doing this with you. So to our listening audience, take care, be well, come back next week. May all beings be happy. May all beings be safe. May all beings be free.
We hope our program inspired you this week. Please join Mariana Cacciatore for another edition of Bread for the Journey next Saturday at noon Eastern Time, 9 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.